Final Four Friday on Yahoo Sports Radio. And this special Final Four edition,
thanks to Mahindra,
our official Final Four sponsor here at Yahoo Sports Radio, and Blue Emu, no more pain, present a special edition of Yahoo Sports Radio
live from the Final Four in Houston.
Getting you ready for Final Four Friday night.
Live from the owner's house, the owner of Yahoo Sports Radio, Stanley Gow Manor.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, Big E, and Dylan Gwynn bring you the sights and sounds of our Yahoo Sports Radio Final Four Friday night party.
Now from Stanley Gow Manor in Houston, site of tomorrow's Final Four.
With Big E, here is Dylan Gwynn.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Dylan Gwynn and the Big E coming to you live from Gow Manor here in Houston as we get ready for the Final Four. It's a big deal, and this is a big party that we're having getting ready for this big event. And joining us right now to talk about it all is Lee Klein. He's been the CEO of the world's leading basketball instructional brand, Five Star Basketball Camp.
Woo!
Coach Klein directed Five Star's instructional videos and has edited five books on basketball and a frequent guest of the network. And we'll be doing his own show tomorrow, 9 to noon, on Yahoo Sports Radio. And 9 to noon Central, that is. And on Yahoo Sports Radio as we get ready for the Final Four. Welcome aboard, Lee.
It is awesome to be here at the Final Four. It's a celebration of the sport, college hoops. It's so great to see a lot of familiar faces down here. But then you've got the storylines. Four great teams. And to me, as much as anything's about for these coaches cementing their legacy. You got four really good coaches that are on the top of their profession, and this win could cement them into being that elite class.
I got to ask you this, Lee. You've been on my show many times throughout the year. How in the world did we overlook Syracuse? I guess we should never doubt Jim Boeheim, right?
Well, it's amazing. There's, of course, controversy. Should Syracuse be in? Should they not have made it in? The bottom line is they're here, and they're here because they had three opponents. And, you know, Dayton was kind of it was a tired Dayton team when they had them. Middle Tennessee shocked the world. How are they going to do it again? 48 hours to get ready for a Syracuse zone. And then, let me tell you, I was at the United Center for that Virginia-Syracuse game. I was literally two arms lengths from Jim Boeheim the entire game.
Really?
And the way that he managed that game, the control he had with his players, when it wasn't going so well, Roberson makes a mistake. The eye contact, settling them down. When Malachi didn't take this three-point shot, got on him. Next time out, got on him. Hey, you got to shoot that. I need to be aggressive here. And most importantly, Trevor Cooney, who I think he has a real special connection with. Here's a kid's been to two Final Fours.
Two Final Fours, senior, yeah.
And he goes and he motions to Cooney, I need you moving, I need you moving, I need you moving. And the energy that Cooney gave, and because they were all kind of stuck in mud, Cooney went. He drummed up the energy. All of a sudden now, you got a three by Leiden. They got a stop, another bucket. They bring in the half-court trap, and the whole energy changed, and lo and behold, Syracuse shocked everybody. It was just amazing the run that they had in beating Virginia. Now, can they do it again against Carolina?
I was going to say, what can we anticipate against Carolina? How much of that 2-3 zone will he use? Because he's got in that hip pocket. He's going to put that press on if he has to.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. Carolina, on paper, is 10 points better, okay? If we play this game 20 times, Carolina's going to beat them 19 out of 20. They're that much better. They got the guards, they got the front court, and they play better in tempo. Syracuse really got to play a perfect game. There's a very limited margin for error. To me, the key is the glass. Can they keep Carolina off the offensive glass? If they could do that, they have a chance. I think that Carolina, if those guards continue to play as well as they've had this tournament, they're going to beat everybody here.
We're talking with Lee Klein. He's been the CEO of the world's leading basketball instructional brand. That is, of course, Five Star Basketball Camp. And I want to go that route with you here, Lee, for a second to get away from the tournament and back to when these kids were kids, you know, in high school, which wasn't too long ago for them. A lot of people bang the AAU brand and say, you know, all they do is throw out a bunch of basketballs and they don't teach basketball anymore. Do you buy into that? Do you buy into that, and do you see any of that in the tournament? When you look at what goes on in the AAU, and you know it better than anybody else, and in those youth development organizations, positive or negative? What is the verdict?
Well, I had a four-hour meeting this morning, USA Basketball, talking just about this in youth development, and it's the process, okay? So the process needs to change. The first thing is, who owns basketball, okay? And so the NBA and USA Basketball now have come together, and they've made this initiative where we've got to do a better job on what we're, who's teaching, what are we teaching, how we're teaching, and to really answer that, you know, that problem. I was at the McDonald's game. I got to see, you know, the nation's best. We're a nation of 300 million. We're going to be able to have a great Olympic team. We're going to have a great McDonald's game. But are we going to have the number of kids playing at their highest level? Well, that's only going to happen if we do a better job of really highlighting the process instead of the outcome. It's got to be more about, you know, Stephen Curry, a fantastic example, five-star kid. How does he work? We need to understand that the kids that are the best, the players that are the best, they work harder than they play. That's why the game looks so easy. And that's what we need to kind of get back into. The kids that are here, they're amazing kids and amazing stories. And we hope they're going to inspire a lot more. But they're going to inspire them not just by their play, but by their passion and work ethic and what they put in to get to this point.
The common thread in this year's Final Four is the seniors, the veterans. Is this going to be a new trend that we're going to start seeing? Because if we think of last year, what Duke started, three freshmen, Kentucky, you know, all their fabulous freshmen. What can we look for in the future?
Well, it comes down to how strong the freshman class is. And quite honestly, I mean, let's just call it the way it is. It was not the strongest freshman class. This is not your typical one-and-done year. And therefore, the kids that get better, that improve, the seniors, they're able to go grow by leaps and bounds. And then you've got, you know, the freshmen come in, maybe a little big, the moment's a little big for them. Looking at this McDonald's class, if I'm forecasting that, I don't know if we got a ton of one-and-dones. I think they're, you know, they're really six impactful players and then guys that depends on what happens. So I think we'll have this same theme will be a factor again next year. I think next year we'll have, again, seniors getting better, leading teams. The only thing that's complicating now is the draft process has changed completely, and we don't know who's in the draft and who's out of the draft, so that's why we got a lot of different things going on. But the transfer piece is becoming as big a part of recruiting as this trying to get great freshmen. And so that's why we'll talk about a lot of seniors, because they've come from other schools and been part of what we think, you know, successful teams.
We're talking with Lee Klein, five-star basketball camps with Cats on Yahoo Sports Radio tomorrow from 9 to noon Central as he gets you ready for the Final Four. Lee, we talk about Buddy Hield being, like, you know, the best player in the country. He's playing better than anybody else in the country right now. But you watch these NBA mock drafts, and you look at them all. Buddy Hield is normally not in the top 10. I mean, sometimes he'd be 8, sometimes he'd be 7, but he's not in the top 5 in a lot of them. Why is that?
Well, when we talk about the NBA draft and that aspect, a lot of it is potential, right? Who is so potential? They want to know, well, who kind of scratches the surface? They do a lot of good things. They're 19 years old. We're going to get them to be great in different things. Well, you see Buddy Hield, he's 22 years old. You say, well, what you see is what you get. How much better can he be? He's a great shooter. He has an idea how to play. Yes, he can work on his handle and that part. And that's one of the concerns, and that's why are you drafting for – so when you talk about who's going to be the best, as far as – are you talking about who's going to be best next year in the draft, or who's going to be the best in 5 years? So – and I think there's that aspect of it where we overlook the upperclassmen because we understand their ceiling might not be as high, but right now what they could put on the court is much better.
Which player do you think will have the biggest impact in this year's Final Four?
Alyssa with a killer question here.
No, exactly. Why didn't I come up with that one? Come on.
I'll say I got to go with Arch. Ryan Arch and Diacono. I think that.
You said it beautifully.
They're, yeah.
I know. Well done. I was going to say Ryan.
Ryan A.
Yeah.
Right.
The connection he has with Jay Wright, they're so in lock, and he doesn't have to be the great scorer. He can go and, you know, it's the pass, it's the defense, it's going back door, it's the sense of how the game is played. If Villanova is successful, here's a guy that can go not score and impact the game. So I think he's the most important player, and I have this feeling that we're witnessing something special with this Villanova team, even though I know, listen, you know, Boomer Sooner.
Boomer.
I picked Oklahoma.
And it's, you're wearing burnt orange tonight. I mean, come on. And you got a long one. Oh, my God.
Doing it just right. Oh. Absolutely.
Ah. Yeah.
But not the, scoring points here, Lee. I'm telling you. It's not taking a turn for the worst.
I just think there's something special about this Villanova team and their connection to each other and their coach that I don't know if Oklahoma could do it.
Lee Klein, five-star basketball camps. Catch him tomorrow on Yahoo Sports
Radio,
9 to noon Central. He gets you ready for the Final Four. We continue getting you ready for the Final Four live here from Mr. Gow's house. It is Yahoo Sports Radio.
Final Four Friday night, and we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Be sure to get our new mobile app and never miss a moment. Plus all the podcasts at podcastarena.com. Once again, with Big E, here's Dylan Quinn.
What's up, everybody? It is Yahoo Sports Radio. Dylan Quinn, the Big E. We are here at Mr. Gow's house, eating all of his food. Drinking all of his beverage. Well, not us.
I'm being a good girl.
Not for another 45 minutes. Will that fully begin? But we are here nonetheless, and we're getting you ready for the Final Four. And Lee Klein, a five-star basketball camp. You know, a little April Fool's there. It is in the season, right? We told you he was leaving. Oh, no! He's back. He's back for more. And we continue the basketball discussion here. Do you think, Lee, you look at the coaches involved in this tournament. You've got Jay Wright, you've got Jim Boeheim, you've got Roy Williams, these legendary names and huge names. Does Lon Kruger just kind of get sloughed off in this kind of thing where people just don't pay attention and give the due that maybe he should get for putting together a heck of a basketball team, a heck of a run? He might have the best team in the country before all is said and done here, and yet you don't hear about him.
I think he epitomizes the, really, when we talk about this convention and all the coaches here, Lon Kruger's the poster child of what everyone's hoping to be. Here's a guy that kind of grinded it out, went from spot to spot, Kansas State, I mean, so many different places. Kansas State, UNLV, and had success along the way. Had his cup of coffee with the Hawks, came back to college, found out that this is where he's best. Mm-hmm. And he just teaches and he flourishes. And I think that, you know, when you talk about kind of that old school type of just going out and doing it, Lon Kruger's the guy that coaches look at and say, I respect that guy. I like what he's done. Of course, Florida, he brought Florida to the Final Four with Meat Hook, Dimitri Hill. It's great to have him back here.
Has he changed as a coach? I mean, you're talking about 22 years ago, he was at the Final Four. Or has he always been this way in terms of his approach with the game?
I think coaches are consistent with the game. I think how you reach players now has changed. The kind of do it because I say is no longer an effective teaching tool as once was. I think getting, you know, empowering kids and having them part of the process and getting them to take ownership and have their teammates accountable, I think he's done an incredible job with Oklahoma, as with this team. And this is a fun team. Let me tell you know what the toughest thing they probably had to do? Convince Buddy Hield to come back, because that's why they're here. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Well, there's no doubt. And you bring that up about Lon Kruger, which embodies and epitomizes him, because he's so laid back with those kids. I mean, everything is, oh, personal foul, oh, flagrant one. No, don't worry about it. We'll get it back or something like that. Whereas you look at a Boeheim, you look at some of these other guys, you can see the fire just coming out of their ears, you know, because they're the old school coaches, and that's how they were brought up. So I think perfect man for the perfect era, probably, is the way to describe him. But how do you put yourself in Jay Wright's shoes for a second here? Now you've got a...
By the way, those are some pretty expensive shoes. Those are,
and some excellent suits, by the way. Put yourself in one of those suits, and you'll be a
I
man around
say,
town.
Who is the best-dressed coach in this year's Final Four?
Oh, it's not close.
Well, my vote goes to Rick Pitino. He always dresses first class. If you're going to hand out fashion awards, it goes to Rick Pitino.
No question. But you put yourself in Jay Wright's shoes here for a second. How do you, the coach, Lee Klein, how do you stop Buddy Hield?
Well, his team's great perimeter defense. You got to help. I think the mistakes, you look at some of the mistakes that Oregon made. You can't allow easy touches, and you can't forget about them when the ball moves around. And you have to make a decision, how are you going to allow this Oklahoma team to get their opportunities? Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, matter of fact, when Oklahoma drilled Villanova, and, you know, in a game that really doesn't mean a ton, but maybe a little confidence here and there, it was Isaiah Cousins who had the big game. So, and
that's
I
right.
think that's sort of, who are you willing to allow have the opportunities and see if they can make the shots? To me, it can't be Buddy Hield. You can't allow it. You got to make it difficult. And another thing that I think great coaches do is you make those players that are great offensive players play defense. And you run them through screens.
Well, Villanova is 14-0 when holding their opponents under 60 points. So it all starts with defense.
No question. But this, I don't see this game in the 60s. Well, at least I hope not.
That would stink.
These games in the 60s aren't a lot of fun to watch. Like that, what do we have? That Pittsburgh-Wisconsin
yes.
game was like 20-19 at half? Please no. Please,
no.
Alyssa. I think what you're going to have is I think you're going to have a nice pace in this game. I think we could get up and down, and then it's going to be who's making shots. Now, we know, of course, it's a lot of struggle the last time we were here in the Final Four in making shots in Houston. We'll see if that's been something that was team-specific or if this is something Houston-specific, how our team's going to shoot the basketball.
Well, last time out, Buddy Hield had 6 turnovers, so it's going to be interesting how they attack him defensively because perhaps he could, you know, force those TOs.
The interesting thing is, you know, the underlining factor is going to be who's going to show up on the front court. Villanova really has a legitimate post option. Ochefu does a great job, protects the rim.
High
posts
basketball
up.
IQ, very smart player.
This again, you know, Ryan Spangler kind of picked it up a little bit in the tournament. Kind of was down, now he picked it up a little bit. He's on, to me, him and Latin, the bullseye's on them. They've really got to step up for the Sooners to have a legitimate shot in this game. And I think the Sooners are the underdog. I think Villanova is the team to beat. In this matchup,
we're talking with Lee Klein, 5-star basketball camp. You'll be able to hear him on Yahoo Sports Radio tomorrow from 9 to noon Central here as he gets you ready for the Final Four and breaks it all down for you as only he can. I'm a little surprised you think Oklahoma's the underdog in that game. Is it just because Villanova has the capacity to make things so ugly that they could throw off a guy like Hield, who's been so hot as of late, that, you know, the same way they threw off everybody else? I mean, is that it?
I think the perimeter defense against Kansas and how easily they won the prior games, and then when you look at the season as a whole, and you see outside that slip up in the Big East championship game against Seton Hall, when you look at it as a whole, you say this team's been a dominant team for the entire year.
But what about the depth? When you compare the depth of Villanova and Oklahoma, the Wildcats got more depth than Oklahoma, right?
They do. They do. And you saw Bridges come and have a fantastic game off the bench. You saw Reynolds come in and help on the inside and the interior. That's where I think Oklahoma, Christian James, really important. Got to get good minutes from him. You need that fourth scorer to kind of to sort of differentiate the attack. Usually it's the other guy. In these types of games, they're going to shut down your top options. It's somebody's going to step up. That third option is going to be a spark. We've seen it now, Spike Albrick. We saw it with Grayson Allen. That's sort of the theme here to look for. Who's the guy that's going to step up in the big moment that you didn't expect that provides the spark? Could be Christian James. It could be a guy like Bridges, Reynolds. We will find out.
We got about a minute left. What do you make of the pressure factor of a team like North Carolina coming in as a one seed and Syracuse, who nobody thought anything of for forever until they got in the tournament and all of a sudden turned into the best basketball team in the country? What does that do to a team like North Carolina going into a game like that, having that pressure on them and Syracuse playing loose?
I think at this point, when everyone's here, when the whole world, your whole network, with everyone's eyes on you, everyone's tight. Everyone's a little tight. This is, you know, it's great to be here, but you're here for a reason. These are competitive kids and competitive teams. They want to win here. So I don't think Carolina is any tighter than Syracuse here. I think that what you've got is two teams are going to duke it out, and then it comes talent. Carolina's the talent.
Lee Klein, 5-star basketball camps, catching tomorrow, 9 to noon Central, here on these friendly Yahoo Sports Radio airwaves. Dylan Gwynn and the Big E coming in from Mr. Gallus' house. More Yahoo Sports Radio next.
Final Four Friday night, and we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Be sure to get our new mobile app and never miss a moment. Plus all the podcasts at podcastarena.com. Once again, with Big E, here's Dylan Gwynn.
That's right. That's party music right there. That's what we're doing here at our boss's house. How cool is that? Our boss invited us over to eat all of his food and party the night away and talk about the Final Four. I don't know how you get to be a better boss than that. And, you know, when I grow up, I'd like to have a house like this, too. So I'm going to start working on that. Big E, Dylan Gwynn, and now Joe George joins us.
What's up, Dylan?
Very glad to have you, Joe. Glad to have you. You've been making the rounds here all night long, working your tail off, and now you're going to sit here and be on the air with us, man. And we're very glad to have you on. This tournament's got a little bit of everything. I think you got your name brands in the Final Four, but you also had your upsets and everything that happened. You had the big dogs getting knocked off, but you're still at the end of the day, you end up with the big dogs. it's kind of like you. It seems to me like maybe more than any other year in recent memory, you got a little bit of everything in this tournament. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think this tournament had what everyone wants. You get the big upsets with like Northern Iowa and Yale. I mean, a lot of great games. But then at the end of the day, you've got your main teams. You got North Carolina. You got Oklahoma, Villanova, and Syracuse is your Final Four. It's kind of what everyone wants. You get the real good basketball, but you get the fun stuff in the beginning, and that's what's right. Kind of nice about it, where you don't see you and I, Northern Iowa, in the Final Four. We don't want that.
No, we don't.
we want North Carolina, so that's what we got, which is great. So the beginning was fun, but the end is like, it looks like it's going to be a lot better.
Right. But as far as a Cinderella goes, I mean, Villanova is about as Cinderella as you want in the Final Four. You know what I mean? I can take a Austin Peay up until the Sweet 16, but in the Elite Eight, I want Austin Peay out on their behind, and I want to get on with the headliner.
Yeah, look, for me, if it's not the Southern Illinois Salukis, I do not want.
It will never be, Joe.
Hey, I know it won't be. But if it's not SIU, the Salukis in the Final Four, then I don't want an upset. I want the good basketball teams. I don't want these like mediocre scrubs. Like they're good kids, but they don't belong in the Final Four. So this is what we want to see, and I'm glad we got it.
Absolutely.
You know, Joe, one of the storylines is NRG Stadium, that it can be brutal for shooters. How do you see that impacting this Final Four?
Well, I remember watching. I was still in college the last Final Four when that happened in Houston. So I remember how ugly of a game it was. I think it can be a really big impact of how you adjust and everything that goes on. A team like Oklahoma, they need to be able to hit the jump shot. It's really important for them. So if they can't adjust to this big surrounding, it's going to kill them. It's going to knock them out, and Villanova's going to win. Same for North Carolina. If they don't hit their jump shots, can they really beat Syracuse? And now I think they're going to, but it's going to be the major storyline of how this massive, massive football stadium how it affects their vision on the court.
The angles certainly are challenging. And let me throw out this stat, guys. Teams last year in the Houston Regional, 27% from three-point range, and they were under 40% from the floor. So it really does impact you in terms of your depth perception. I thought it was interesting listening to Roy Williams earlier this week. He was like, you know, he doesn't think that it will affect his kids. He's like, he's going to go back to the movie Hoosiers and Gene Hackman. Hey, you know, the basket's still 10 feet high. I'm not going to allow a building to beat us. He's not going to talk about it a lot with his kids.
Well, because I think North Carolina, of all teams, they can do a little bit of everything. They can go to the hole, they can shoot from the mid-range and the three-point shot, and in transition, they can be successful. So of all the four teams, they're the most equipped to deal with NRG Stadium and to handle it effectively, at least in my opinion. And then when you look at teams like Oklahoma and Villanova, especially Oklahoma, that really relies on the three with Buddy Hield.
That's right.
He's going to be kind of the key factor of how it handles him. He's been fantastic in this tournament. If he can't adjust, they're going to be out real quick.
We're talking with Joe George, Dylan Gwynn, and the Big E coming to you from Mr. Gow's house at Yahoo Sports Radio, getting you ready for the Final Four. If Jim Boeheim wins this thing, all right, and I mean at this point that is not a crazy thing to say anymore. It ceased being a crazy thing about two games ago probably. It could very well happen. If he does, where does this rank in the pantheon of single-season coaching achievements? A guy who was on suspension for the first 9 games of the season. It's college basketball. It's not college football. You know, so 9 games, whatever. But they start off 4-5. They lose 13 games, and they win the national championship. I got to think that ranks pretty high.
Well, it at minimum ranks higher than Carmelo Anthony's championship at Syracuse.
Yes.
It at least puts them ahead of that team. I think it's really impressive because I mean,
well, you bring that up too, but he doesn't have a Carmelo.
Exactly.
That's another thing.
Oh, yeah,
so,
this team
is
special.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This team is, like, they don't have that guy. They don't have that Carmelo Anthony, that Buddy Hield, the Marcus Page. They don't have someone that is a lottery draft pick, really, this year at all. And so what he's done, it really is incredible. Now, in terms of all time, it probably is pretty impressive.
Now, you're like 18, so let's define all time.
He's got facial hair.
Well, they all do nowadays.
That's fair. The last 24 years of my life,
okay.
It's very impressive what he's done because he doesn't have the superstar that's been required to win, yeah. You know, in the last decade or so. I think it's great, and I love the 2-3 zone. It's my favorite part of basketball.
Get out of here.
No, I don't know.
You're not a man-to-man guy?
No, I love the man, but the 2-3 zone is just special because Jim Boeheim's been coaching basketball for like 40 right. years, and no one can figure it out, and I don't know why. He runs the same
cheating.
Zone.
It's not cheating, Dylan.
It's not cheating, but it's awesome. I love the zone.
So how do you quantify what he has meant to the game? You talk about Jim Boeheim, but also Roy Williams. I mean, these guys are, you know, Hall of Famers.
Yeah, Roy Williams is interesting because we don't know what's going to happen with the allegations or the suspension or whatever is going to happen in the next month or two. It's just like, it seems like for years we've been hearing that North Carolina is going to be suspended and miss the tournament, but it never happens. So, look, both these guys are great for basketball. They really are in what they've achieved. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't have a belief that anyone's clean anymore because of baseball. So, like, I think yeah. Coach K, there's got to be something dirty with him. It's just it's just like the way it is. Like, I mean, who would have thought that guys like Lance Armstrong were really cheating? You don't know what's going on in the world anymore. So they're great for the game of basketball, but they're just great for what it is now in the one-and-done era.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your Chicago Bulls.
Oh, God.
Rose, Butler, Noah, they've missed a combined 72 games. What do they need to fix first?
Well, they need a new head coach because they hired a guy,
really?
Fred Hoiberg, who was a great college basketball coach. And I use quotes on that because he never even reached the Elite Eight. Like, how can you be a great college basketball coach and not get close to the big one? I think it was, now that you look back, it was way too big of a jump for him. He was not ready to get to the college basketball ranks. And I think the biggest problem is that the guys don't respect him. That's why they don't play hard. That's why they don't play good defense. They're just not listening, and that's the problem with this Bulls team.
Well, Fred Hoiberg last year with Iowa State, they lost in the first round to UAB. And so, I mean, this year, the Cyclones, they made it to the Sweet 16 at least.
And that's a big problem. And Fred Hoiberg, what did he do? He talked to him at the Sweet 16, and then they lost.
We're talking with Yahoo Sports Radio Wonderkin Joe George. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Joe George.
Let's talk some Lakers. 27.
Some Lakers?
Yeah, let's talk some Lakers. D'Angelo yeah. Russell,
let's
come
bring
on.
It down to,
bring
his,
it.
To his millennial level.
Yes.
You're an expert. You're an expert yes. on this. You're one of the generation of kids that wants to put all their business out there for everybody to see. So you should be able to relate to D'Angelo Russell very well. I think we totally jumped the shark with this story about 2 days ago. I think what he did was awful. I don't think he's the most horrible human on the face of the planet. And I'll say this, though. And I think the jump the shark moment was when people started talking about trading the kid. You can't trade that kid. You're not going to get a D'Angelo Russell back to L.A. by trading him. He's one of the cornerstones of the franchise.
He's played really well in the month of March, too.
Right. You read him the Riot Act. You take his phone away from him, whatever you have to do. But you have to keep him, right?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, who is Nick Young? He's not a great basketball player anymore. He's now clearly having affairs with his wife.
He's not even Mr. Iggy Azalea
anymore.
Fiance or whatever. Same thing. Not really. But he's been accused.
No, it's the same thing.
Yeah. He's had the sexual harassment allegations just right. A week and a half ago. At the end of the day, Nick Young's the bad dude in this situation, and he's the one that's got to go, not D'Angelo Russell.
Completely 100% agree, which means you're right. Congratulations, Joe George.
Thanks.
You have won Yahoo Sports Radio. All right. We're coming to you. Back after a short break here. We're at Mr. Gow's house. We're partying. It's the Final Four. It's Houston. Continue to join us, won't you? It's Yahoo Sports Radio.
Final Four Friday night, and we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
Be sure to get our new mobile app and never miss a moment. Plus all the podcasts at podcastarena.com. Once again, with Big E, here's Dylan Quinn.
That's right, you heard the man, Dylan Quinn and the Big E, coming to you from our boss's house, where he was so kind to invite us over to come talk about basketball in his living room, and we've been doing it for 2 hours and having a blast. doing so. And right now, we're happy to welcome aboard Ken Davis. He writes for todaysu.com, where he covers college basketball, and fanragsports.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at KenDavis55. Welcome aboard, Ken. How are you?
Thanks a lot. Nice to be here. I've never seen a studio quite like this.
They should all be like
they
this.
They should all, with a fireplace, yeah.
Do you know definitely. How sad I'm going to be to go back to our actual real studios after this experience?
That's going to be a come down, huh?
It is. It will be kind of like watching basketball after the Final Four is over,
right?
After the national championship. Everything's downhill from there. What do you make of it? What's your level of shock at the fact that these four teams are in the Final Four right now?
Only shocked at Syracuse. Didn't expect that. Wasn't quite sure if they were deserving of being in the tournament. And I say that with all respect to Jim Boeheim, mm-hmm. who I've known probably longer than any coach. I've known him since 1981. And I was working in Binghamton, New York, covering Syracuse games back in the days of Leo Routens and Eric Sanifer and Tony Bruin and those guys.
Oh, okay.
The Carrier Dome had just opened up. But I'm very happy for him. I mean, and Rory Williams, both. They're both coaches I've known for a long time because I went to school in Kansas, so I got to know Roy while he was there. And they've been through a lot of stuff, and I know a lot's being made of the academic stuff, and it certainly is not happy news. It's not anything to celebrate this weekend, but this is basketball. They got their way back, just like I've covered UConn since 1985, and they had their postseason ban the year before they won it in Dallas. And the kids get motivated by those bans, and you know, and not being able to play. And I see this as being very similar. I haven't been around the Syracuse kids very much, but you know, when you're left out and you didn't have anything to do with the infractions,
right,
it motivates you the next year.
How stunning was it that Kansas was not able to advance to be here at the Final Four?
You just were waiting to bring that up because Oklahoma's in. Your Sooners are in.
She had that one stored up.
Thank God. I was happy that my Jayhawks got past UConn because I was going to have to leave the state of Connecticut because I wouldn't have been able to tolerate that.
Yeah.
No, they didn't play a good game. I mean, Villanova played the better game, and that's the way the tournament goes, you know, and they were talented. They'd had the winning streak. I thought they were going to go all the way. And I picked them, but I pick them every year. And I'm disappointed, but, you know, you just got to get over it. You cry for 24 hours, and then you move on with your life.
Well, Bill Self has had an incredible run at Kansas. Were you surprised to see him not named the Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year?
Well, he was with the AP. They have,
right,
they have two out there, and the coaches did. You know, Tubby did a great job, and I, you know, he needed to be recognized. I'm sure the coach was looked at that way. I mean, but Bill's picked up the AP Coach of the Year yesterday for nationally. It's just one of those years, you know. I mean,
did you agree with that?
I do.
Tell me why.
The winning streak, the two wins over Oklahoma in the regular season. The you know, the fact that you don't count 12 seasons of winning the conference title, but they won Maui, they won the regular season, they won the Big 12 tournament. They were the number one overall seed. They were in a bad spot after they beat Oklahoma the first time when they lost those three games on the road. And I think he pulled them together quite efficiently at that point and did a really good job because they had a lot of problems with turnovers and sloppiness, and you didn't even know if the motivation was there. And then, boom, suddenly he made a couple changes in the lineup. Devontae Graham was a huge difference, and I still don't know about that last. He fouled out in that Villanova game, and he had three questionable calls there. And I don't think that's just coming from a Kansas guy. I think a lot of people looked at it that way. So that was a game changer right there. He'd become their real leader. You know, Bill's had some tough losses in the NCAA, and there's no way to avoid that, and he won't run away from it either.
But we've got about 2 minutes left, Ken, but I don't want to let you go without getting your take on what you think is going to be happening here and how you think this whole thing is going to shake out. I mean,
I thought at the end of the season that Kansas and Carolina were the two best teams, so I'd still stick with Carolina winning it. Oklahoma could certainly do it. I mean, this building I wrote about on the site today, and a lot of people have written about it because I was here the last time UConn and Butler played in the national championship game, and people were turning off the TV because nobody could hit a shot. So I hope Buddy can hit his shots. I hope that, because Oklahoma relies on that three more than anybody else.
Yes.
Carolina doesn't need that to win. They can get to the rim. But I think Carolina should beat Syracuse. And Oklahoma-Villanova is the toss-up. Villanova's really playing well now. And I think the Oklahoma thing depends on the three-point shooting. I'll stick with Carolina at the end to whether they play Oklahoma. I'm just hoping for some good games here. I don't want to see that UConn-Butler kind of game again.
Who do you think has had the easiest path to this year's Final Four?
Well, some people say it's Syracuse because they were a 10 seed and they really didn't have to. You know, but they did beat the number one seed in that
and now they're on the cusp
bracket.
Of, you know.
I guess Carolina's was pretty ordinary, you know, except for Notre Dame. That was a tight game. So I would say they probably had the easiest path. But all four teams here are playing well now. I don't take anything away from any of them. I think it's a good representative group. And what kind of year we had, really.
No question.
I think it's important to point out, too, Ken, how many Final Fours have you been to? You've had an illustrious career.
This is 32 straight.
Wow.
But
can you imagine 32 straight?
32
only
straight.
Two of those were not working. I did two on my own just to go.
Oh, that counts.
Well, I don't want to break my streak. I'm hanging on by a thin thread. The first one was 1985. Pretty good Final Four, and I got kind of hooked.
No doubt about it. That'll do it.
Ken.
That'll do it. Ken Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
And that does it for us, the Big E.
This is like the fastest 2 hours in radio.
It really has been, and it's been awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We love working with you again sometime. And everybody out there, enjoy the Final Four. Enjoy college basketball. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.